right, everybody, and welcome back to the Triangle Anime and Manga Review Podcast. I'm Logan, and here with me today, as always, is Ozzy. How's it going, Ozzy?
All right. Yeah, it's going great, man. It's a brand new day. It's starting to feel like spring here. Today was a lovely day.
We've kind of blazed through winter. It's been a bit since we recorded. I think we last did our year-end review, but we're already here, halfway through the winter season, and I don't know if it's global warming or just that it's like we haven't recorded in a while, but it sure is getting warm outside right now.
Nice to me. I mean, this is my least favorite time of the year. I personally do not like the cold for temperature reasons, but also because it's dark and gloomy and I can't be outside.
True. I get that. Yeah. And normally you would have more TV to watch now, but during the season, we had a writer's strike in the U.S., so we're just now getting a lot of the releases over here. And I gotta say, a lot of anime-styled kind of stuff going on in the market right now. I don't know how much of it you've had a chance to watch, but and got like The Brother's Son, which was a fascinating story. That actually just got canceled, so I guess it's not getting a sequel.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Super fascinating. They said it was so fascinating they canceled it.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Is that the one that's like Korean based?
No, this one was Taiwan gang where
once his son
gets shipped to the U.S. so that he doesn't have to live a life of crime.
But he somehow still gets into it, right?
But yeah,
I think you were
telling
me about
somebody
it,
assassinates the dad or attempts to assassinate the dad, and then they have to go and his other brother, who's the head of the gang, has to go and team up with him to save the day. Obviously, we got Avatar. So.
Yep, Avatar. I did watch the first episode of that. We can probably not to go too spoilers into it, but it's a not super unique, but a different adaptation, and I think I like it so far.
They definitely take some liberties. It's not like the worst thing I've ever seen. it's not the M. Night Shyamalan adaptation.
Oh God, yeah,
but it's definitely
doesn't touch on that.
I think it's kind of like one of those struggles where it's like, it's fine, but it's also not what you want if you watch the original, so it's just...
Yeah, it's one of those situations that, and you get this way with anime as a whole sometimes, where if you see the source material, if you've already watched the original, if you watch the, you know, a version of it at an earlier date, and you love that earlier version, you kind of set yourself up for failure, really, when you watch a reimagining or a reboot or anything like that, because... It's hard. I mean, sometimes you can't always please everyone. You can't, and I will give them credit for trying something different. You know, it's like, again, it's not like it's out of left field, but they said, hey, what if we take this one moment and just kind of changed it a little bit? You know, it takes balls to do that because you know that you could easily anger a lot of fans. But sometimes it does add up. Sometimes, you know, you can't have reboots that are, you know, far better than the originals, or sometimes you have reboots that are just as good. But I do know that sometimes we kind of put ourselves in a hard place when we expect too much.
Yeah, I think it's kind of one of those where you got to look to what does this adaptation do well that the other adaptation doesn't do as well. Because I think if you just look for every single thing you looked in the original,
comparisons,
you're always going to be disappointed because they're either going to just remake the original like for like, or they're going to do a bunch of stuff that you don't like because it's not the original. So it's always tough with that. But I think there were some high points and some low points with that. Maybe we'll have a podcast in the future about it. Not sure.
Yeah, like you said, there seems to be a lot of maybe Asian and influenced media that's kind of coming from English sources, obviously with some with very good depictions and honoring of Asian background. So I know one of them that we were just talking about earlier was Shogun. I mean, it just came out on Hulu, right?
If you're not watching Shogun, you need to watch Shogun.
Yeah, I would say if you can take a break from anime, you should watch this show. This is honestly the one show that I'm outside of anime that I'm really kind of hooked on. It just came out on Hulu this past Tuesday, and it's a weekly thing. So I know that people at work, we have a small group. After every episode, we're basically just sitting there talking and making sure we're not spoiling people.
I will gotta say that my wife doesn't like it because she has to read the subtitles. So I'm just like, get over it. Come on.
Welcome to our life. We don't listen to dubbed.
Well, I think it's tough when you want to be honest to the Japanese on the fact that they don't speak English. Man, that's a struggle right there. I don't know.
Man, I was kind of hope. Well, I don't want to spoil too much, but I was hoping that there would be other languages too, because there are other countries that are
in play.
Right. That's yeah, in true. Play, right.
Technically, they're all speaking Portuguese.
Yeah. I think. So Portuguese is the one that was in there, and they basically just said, "Yeah, just imagine them speaking Portuguese or speaking English, though."
Yeah, I mean, I think if they did that, then literally the entire thing would just be subtitles.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that a lot of people very much dislike subtitles. I guarantee you a lot of people that are listening to this probably aren't in that category, just because I feel like, you know, most anime watchers I talk to usually do subtitles. They don't really do dubs.
I imagine it's also probably pretty hard to find actual actors who speak Portuguese and English and Japanese really well. I don't know. That's a tough one.
That is true. That would be a lot of method acting to like really get into character to learn all those languages.
If they had done it though, holy shit. I don't know. But yeah, right now, I mean, one of the great, they do such a good job of depicting all the historical stuff, all the like attire, all that is really well done. And the story the visuals, itself. Yeah. I mean, I can't really get into it too crazy without spoiling, but I mean, it's very Games of Thrones kind of
very dark
vibe to it.
Yeah.
But also with that little like tinge of kind of religion coming into play, and like obviously the colonialism aspect of like people coming onto the.
It's definitely more modern than or more recent, I guess, than the Game of Thrones, because there is a. Like you said, there is religion playing into it, Catholicism, and almost not modern, just like more recent, like I said. But yeah, no, it is, the setting's very good. The actors are doing a great job. I'm looking forward to it. I've only seen the first episode, and I was hooked just off that first episode. So I would easily recommend this without a doubt to everybody, unless you're not into, you know, I mean, some of my friends aren't necessarily into like the Japanese side of things. I mean, it's not like they don't care. It's just like, or it's not like they are disinterested in it. It's just maybe not super interested in it, I guess. Right.
I kind of think this is one of those where it's like, this is history. I'm not going to say this is 100% accurate history. It's a fiction novel for a reason. They do kind of crunch a lot of the time stuff together. But I think this is the kind of history that you could, a regular person would listen to, and they'd be like, this is interesting. I mean, Samantha and I were watching, and she didn't realize, it's like, was Catholicism such a big deal in Japan? It's like, yeah, it kind of was for a long period. But anyway.
Yeah, and like you said, they do play into that really well, and they don't just, like, it's not a passing by kind of thing. We're like, oh, we have some, you know, Catholic influence here. It's like, no, it's a big deal, right? So, but yeah, no, definitely check it out. That's not what we're here for. We're actually here for anime, specifically the winter lineup that we have been watching this season, and kind of getting a halfway mid-year review. Not mid in the quality sense, because I think that Logan and I were kind of speaking to this season and just saying that overall it's a pretty high average season. I think the one note that we said was that there's nothing knocking it out of bounds really. And obviously, you might have your favorite. We have our favorites, but nothing like crazy I could see. I think I had said earlier that like nothing from this season could win Anime of the Year.
If it's like, yeah, if we're doing sports metaphors, I think of like baseball or maybe basketball, where it's like, this is a solid team. This is a solid roster. But they don't have that one show that just hits it out of the park every time. You know?
I gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, I think that's fair. And that's not knocking any of these shows. I think these are all very solid shows. A lot of the ones that I watched, I really enjoyed.
Well, I will say, actually, we only really mean that about the new shows, because there's a lot of continuations that are still doing pretty good.
That is true. There are a few that that have kind of continued. Logan, you kind of segued into that. I think we'll start off with that, just kind of the continuations, because we have a decent amount of continuations and also sequels. Some of these sequels aren't ones that we watch, and some of the continuations we have watched, and we kind of advocate for, because most of these sequels, if not all of them, were very promising in the fall season.
All right. So getting right into it, I think we got the big three of this particular season are all continuations. We've got Frieren, Apothecary Diaries, and Shangri-La Frontier. Now, we've talked about all of these shows before. They're really good. Frieren continues to just be on fire. It's like, I think it's currently got the highest MAL rating on anime list right now. And it's just getting higher. Like, it actually went up another, like, couple of points over the past few days after the last episode came out. And so, obviously, we've heaped its praise. I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of time on it, but I mean, that's on fire. That's still a really good story.
Yeah, I'm not surprised just because the first season, I'm honestly surprised so many people really enjoyed the first season, because the first season is a very slow in comparison. A lot of it's just kind of setting up the story, setting up the characters, introducing the characters, and kind of getting to the main drive of the story. And now this season, this is the season that I can see people really enjoying, or this half of the season, really. It's one season. Where you're getting all these new characters, you're getting to see different fighters, because they kind of have kind of a quote-unquote like tournament arc kind of situation.
Yeah, sort of.
Right? Because it's the what's it called? The mage like exam. Qualification. Yeah. Exam, excuse me. So because of that, they're introducing new characters, like I said, and that excites people, that excites me, and all these characters are fun. They're all a little unique. They're not just your run-of-the-mill, like, you know, like wholesome characters. You have some characters that are not necessarily good by the book. And I this season is just knocking it out. It continues with the same amount of quality as the first season. It continues with the same roster. It just adds more supporting characters, or I guess side characters. I can't speak highly enough of this one.
Yeah. Apothecary Diaries. Now, how much have you actually been keeping up with Apothecary Diaries?
I haven't been able to keep up with this. I do know that it's still, every now and then it'll pop up in people's favorites, as in for the week, when you look at stuff like, you know, the Reddit, the anime subreddit. So it's still popping off here and there. I think it's continued the main story of kind of the background of Mau Mau, and just kind of dealing with, like, the ongoings of the palace, right?
Yeah, and I think it started with initially, like, slow trend. One of the things we liked was it was kind of a day-to-day thing. And now I think it's hyping up in popularity just because it's getting more into the court intrigue and the actual people playing for position kind of situation. And also how that affects all of our characters. And obviously, people are still liking it. I think last week it's, in the top 3 or 4? On Reddit, and I think it's a very popular series. Again, I don't really have much to add. I think this is one of those shows that you got to check out. And finally, Shangri-La Frontier. It kind of capped out on a big action sequence for the past couple of episodes, where they basically fought what was the equivalent of like a mid-boss or like a high-tier boss. And that was kind of where it peaked up. So it's been dropping a little bit in the rankings now that it's back to just kind of normal storytelling. But it hit a height of action, and people seem to really like these characters and like where the story is going. So I have high hopes for this one in the future. But I think we're going to kind of see a wind down as the season comes to an end, just because there's not a lot of other places for this story to go. Other mentions would just be Undead Unluck and Dangers in My Heart. We unfortunately never watched Dangers in My Heart. I've heard really good things about it.
Yeah, people really, really enjoy this one. And I can understand it's a romance. It seems cute. I understand. It has like that, I wouldn't say like a complete twist. Like the main guy like has a weird tendency, obviously, with his wanting to like see people, I guess, die or get hurt. I get that, because that's his whole thing, right? He was kind of hoping this girl like would fail, or maybe he could kill her, basically. And then he ended up kind of falling for her. And she's not your typical like, oh yeah, she's like the star of the class kind of situation. But she seems like ditzy. She has like a second personality that everyone knows, right? So it's not necessarily something like unique. But I think that maybe the conversations and the connections between characters are what people really like. I've never really enjoyed this one just based off the setting, because I don't I don't know. I've kind of phased out of the like young middle school. Like,
yeah, they're a little lover. Too young.
Yeah, they're a little too young for me. And I see that. And I'm like, I don't really.
Especially
like,
for how mature the topics seem to be. It seems like they're just even that is a little too young for my taste. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I just can't take romance at that age seriously. I think it's just fleeting to me, or it's just like them not understanding. I think once you get into high school, it can have a little bit more play. That's usually where I like to see. If it's in school, I love the more like realistic like college situations. There's one on here that I'm going to speak to that does have that setting, and that's my preferred style. But I know people love it, and that's good that it's continuing to kind of knock it out of the park. Yeah.
And Undead Unluck, I think, has kind of fallen off in popularity. I think the pacing really slowed down, but it's going to finish its run on Hulu. I don't know if anybody's going to really be thinking about it afterwards, but... I know that I do still see some pop-ups. So clearly some people are still watching it. Nice. I think that's and good for them. Next up, we got, you know, all of the sequels, the formal sequels. We've got Mashla, Muscles is Magic,
yeah,
which apparently continues to be very funny. I it's just not my thing, man. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, even when I read the manga, I wasn't really vibing with it. And I think the adaptation seems pretty spot on. So, because the comedy hits, people are really enjoying it. And that was just one that I'm honestly kind of surprised how much people are gravitating to this. That's good. I'm glad. I think it's good that we got another solid adaptation.
I think the people who are really like hardcore into anime and Harry Potter probably appreciate the comedy a little more. Because it is basically a Harry Potter spoof in a lot of ways. And
there's a lot of similarities for sure.
So, I mean, I never got that sucked into the magical world. I like them. But, yeah, I just don't think this is for us. Classroom of the Elite, I haven't watched it. How about yourself?
No, I just want to mention it because I know that people really enjoy it. It's up there.
I think this is actually the third season.
This is third season, yeah.
So, yeah, clearly maybe we'll have to come back to this one at some point. But clearly people really like this one. Moonlit Journey, one I actually have watched. It's a crazy concept. I don't know. It's pretty much generic isekai shonen at this point. Okay. It's like the guy is OP and he does all the things an OP guy would do. I read the manga. I like the manga. I like the characters. But I'll be honest, you know, if you don't like isekai, this is just going to be generic isekai, basically.
Oh, sounds like perfect for me.
Yeah. So I don't really have a whole lot to say about that. It's very similar to the slime isekai, which...
Ah, I gotcha. Sometimes it runs its course.
Yep. And with that, now we're past the continuations and the sequels.
The bigger ones, yeah. There's others, but those are definitely the bigger ones that I know of that people talk about and seem to enjoy.
Yep. But with that, let's go ahead and get into our new animes for the season. And let's start off with one that we kind of got... ambiguous feelings about, The Witch and the Beast. So, Ozzy, why don't you go ahead and get us started, because you kind of picked this one out.
Yeah, so this is definitely one of the ones that kind of caught my eye at the beginning of the season, because the images for it seem pretty good. I like the style of like art and kind of animation, at least based off the images. And, you know, it seemed interesting just because of that season, maybe the season before, we had the Undead Murder Farce.
Yeah.
And I really like that setting of, like, monsters of, like, maybe, like, detective, like, hunting situation, like Van Helsing almost kind of situation. And it seemed like this one was kind of continuing that. I don't know to what extent. I just know that they're hunting witches. The main characters seem to have their own kind of unique abilities. So it's in that realm. And I started watching it, and I can say that I was a little disappointed. I think my biggest thing is the images at first look good, but I will say that after the first few episodes, I think the animations are really lacking. It's very stale and just kind of lifeless. I feel like a lot of it is very static, so there's not much fluidity to it, and when they do have action, very much when like the main characters... Gaidu and what's the dude's name? I'm trying to look him up. Aishaf. They both kind of like bust out their moves and start, attacking or fighting. what would be witches, you would think it would be kind of maybe, I guess, entertaining to watch. But to me, it just seemed like a lot of like moving parts, kind of like not really, like a lot of things were still, and then like you would see like a, like maybe rocks being thrown or smoke like going past them real quickly. I don't know, it seemed like a lot of distractions to take away from the fact that there wasn't a lot of effort put into these action scenes. And after watching a few episodes, I really just did not like that. And honestly, I think that some of the direction of the episodes were not the best. I think one of the episodes, like, they try to do like a, what's it called? Like a plot twist at the end of the episode where they found out who the witch, quote unquote, was. They had like a connection to like one of the main, one of the like,
yeah, you're talking
main
about,
characters of that episode.
What was that, episode 3 or 4?
Yeah, I think it's 3. Yeah. It's a continuation of 2. And I just thought it wasn't very well done. I was honestly very like let down by it because it seems like it had good ideas. Like, oh, this could be an interesting idea, but they just didn't really set it up. It was like, oh, let's just finish this in 2 episodes kind of situation. Almost felt rushed to me. I can't say a ton of great things about this. I want this to work because, like I said, the setting's cool to me. And the characters, at first, seem interesting enough. The main character, Godot, I think she's a lady, has a curse, and she's trying to basically get uncursed. And she has to find either the main witch to help her get uncursed by either kissing her
killing the person who gave her the curse, I think.
No, he has to kiss her. She has to kiss her, or she has to get her to basically uncurse her.
Undo the curse.
And then, like, temporarily, you can uncurse yourself by kissing another witch.
A different witch, yeah.
So, it's kind of like that, but...
Right.
So, those are my thoughts. I'm actually not in love with this, and I'll probably drop it.
Yeah, I kind of liked some of the interesting rules that the world set out, where it's like, there's all these grimoires, there's, like, these rules about...
Yeah, the grimoire thing was cool.
There's rules about how, obviously, her magic powers work, the main characters, or the secondary main character. I'm not even really sure which one of them counts as the main character. But yeah, I guess everything you said is pretty much accurate. When I came into this one, I looked at the art and I could almost tell immediately it reminded me of kind of those Monster of the Week like shows from the 80s and 90s. I can't really think of a good one, but like I remember there was a Devil May Cry anime and kind of an X-Men anime, and those were like the basic premise was just that person's doing their thing, has to beat XYZ monster, beats them even though, you know, monster has XYZ, and then they kind of, and then it just kind of carries on, you know, and then they do it again next week. And that was kind of the vibe I got, where it's like, I can't really, the main characters are never going to lose. I never had any doubt in that. And it's just like, the villains are always evil, just absolutely evil. There's no like gray area. It's just kind of like, yeah, they suck. So I like it. I think it's one of those where it's like if you're a kid or a teenager, these stories kind of stick with you. But as you get older, it's just like there's just not a lot of meat on the bone.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way to put it.
And the art, like you said, I think it's fine, but it's not. We just came off in a season, you know, with Jujutsu Kaisen and Frieren and Vinland Saga and Shangri-La Frontier. And it's just like, this art is not conducive for this story. If the art was better, I might be more interested. But unfortunately...
Oh, yeah, I definitely would be.
The story's not great. I mean, it's fine, but it's not, like, standout. And then the art is not fantastic. So it's kind of like, yeah, I could see people liking this, but it's not me, man. So I've already dropped this one, I think, after episode 4. And, yeah, that's basically where I'm at. Nice. Next up. Oh boy. Gushing over Magical Girls. So I'm pretty sure I'm not allowed to watch this one for various reasons. Not to mention that I don't even think I really want it on my search history.
That's fair. I have not watched it. I'm just speaking through a friend that watched it. And he told me about every episode and every nipple that he saw.
I will say that I read the premise of the manga, and I do think I did read at least the first chapter of the manga, and I was like, I get why people like this. I just wish it reined it in, like, a little more, because it's just so... it really leans heavy into that ecchi stuff, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah, gushing over magical girls. This is one that I heard about, and people were kind of talking about it, whether that was because it was actually good or just people really like it for the ecchi stuff. But, yeah, so I started it, and I mean, I'm kind of torn because I like it, but I don't because of, obviously, the ecchi lewd stuff. I like it because it doesn't. I like it because it's not afraid to kind of hold back because it is based off the premise. They're not doing it for no reason. It's the whole premise is that there's this girl who is the main character, Utena. She becomes a magical girl through the power of this like evil spirit that says, "Hey, we're going to make you a magical girl." She's like, "Oh, great." And she's actually like a huge fan of the current existing magical girls. Just kind of think of like Sailor Moonish when you think of magical girls. And she actually ends up becoming a villain magical girl. So she's like the arch nemesis of her, you know, favorite magical girls. And her power ends up becoming like submitting the magical girls, and it happens to be kind of in a torturous sexual way.
Like, to be fair, Sailor Moon did have a lot of those aspects, you know. There's a lot of shit like that in magical girl anime.
Correct. It's just
this one just carries it to the extreme.
It goes further than that to where, you know, in an adult situation, but these are kids. These are middle school kids. I can't remember their ages, but either way, they end up, you know, every day it's kind of like, oh, I have to fight one of them. I have to put them in a weird situation. And I will say, it is super funny. I've really enjoyed the comedy of this, you know, between, you know, the reactions of the girls, not necessarily to actual, like, ecchi things, but, like, the craziness of it.
The sheer insanity.
Yeah, the sheer insanity, right? Like, so that is done pretty well. The main character, Utena, is, like, she's kind of getting into this role. She's not... so, like, they play her as this S&M character when she's in her full magical girl form. But when she's in her, like, human form, she's actually very reserved and shy and quiet. So it's kind of... That part, I kind of like that she's kind of have this, like, dichotomy for this character. Like, she has this double life where she's, you know, very reserved, quiet, shy, and then she can kind of flip a switch and she turns into this weird S&M, like, super, like, master dom situation. Yeah. And it's like seeing that situation is kind of fun. Again, minus the ecchi elements. And there are other characters which are also fun that are involved. There's other villain characters. The three main magical girls are funny because they're not just like generic main good guys just so they have a reason to be fought. They actually have some intricacies about themselves. They're not just, you know, airheads. They have, you know, their own ways of thinking individually between each other. So I don't really know where this show's heading. I don't know if I'm going to continue it just because I don't want to get caught by my wife. But it is really funny.
Taking a chance just by recording this.
I am, absolutely. I watch at night. When Ellie's asleep, no chances at all. But it is, yeah, they show a lot of things. I mean, obviously, they show nipples. And it's just like, I'm a little uncomfortable sometimes. I'm just going to be honest about the age situation because they are in middle school, high school. It doesn't matter. Either one is still not okay to me. I'm okay with the, like, kind of playing at the
end. I'm surprised they don't even just censor it. It's weird.
Yeah, they don't. It's full blast. I'm just like, oh, God.
Fuck.
Right. I mean, I'm okay with, like, the lewd situations of, like, you know, tying them up and then, like, maybe ripping up parts of their clothes off. I'm like, haha, that's funny. But then every now and then, it's not all the time, they take it to the point where it's like they don't have anything on, just from the top. That's the only thing they've shown. And I'm just like, let's just skip through this part right here.
Yeah, that's a lot.
There's usually funny situations. It usually doesn't get weird. It's usually like, you know, like she's like tickling them or stuff like that, or just kind of like slapping them. I don't know. It's a weird one where I'm like,
it's still on the verge. It's on the verge. Even though it's funny.
I would really enjoy it if it didn't have that much, just because I think that all the characters are interesting. They're fun. The comedy's great. There's not really action. It's just kind of like back and forth. So that part's whatever. But they're introducing more characters slowly, and I've enjoyed that aspect. So there are positives I can see where people kind of like this.
It's a very strange villainous anime, and I guess you know what that means. You know what time it is. It's now time for our Logan's Villainous Recap. All right, so This season, we've actually got a few.
Is this becoming like the new isekai? Like,
this is like basically an isekai genre.
I guess that's true. That is true. It is kind of like reincarnated its own sub-genre. As
a villainous, you know. Yeah. So this time, we've got two major highlights on the reincarnated as a villainous category. We've got seventh time loop villainous, which I don't know if that's a direct translation, but it's essentially what it sounds like. This girl repeatedly got exiled. She basically lived a whole life, and then I think 7 years after she got exiled, she died. And then she got reincarnated, or she got brought back to the exact moment she got exiled. And then she lived her life again, and then she got... Jeez. So this has happened like seven times. Hence, seventh time loop. But this time, basically every time she dies, it's because this... other prince from another nation becomes king and declares war on all the other countries, and which somehow leads to her either getting killed by proxy or killed by him directly in a feud where she becomes a knight. So in this one, she kind of is just trying to live a happy life and make it to her older age. And through a strange turn of events, ends up in a relationship with the said prince of another nation, and is basically trying to stop him from doing that. Stop him from, you know, becoming a terrible person. But, so on the surface, that sounds pretty bland. There's a whole lot more going on with this story as far as setting up political arrangements, dealing with day-to-day stuff around the castle, dealing with family involvement. I was surprised at how deep this show was, because I kind of was just expecting this to be another walk in the park kind of isekai. And I will say, the princess does seem a little overpowered for what is essentially a princess. I also thought it's kind of strange that they call it Seventh Loop Villainous, because she's not really a villainous, but anyway. Yeah, so she's got... There's definitely some isekai strands there. But a lot of the times it's kind of her dealing with these unusual circumstances she finds herself in and trying to figure out what the best way to resolve it is. And a lot of the times she's got to use her brain instead of using her physical attributes. Although she does have a couple of good fight scenes, which I wouldn't say they're, again, I wouldn't say they're on Jujutsu Kaisen level, but they were probably as good, if not better, than The Witch and the Beast, which we discussed earlier. So, I mean, it's a decent... There's some pretty good art. There's some pretty good action. I was impressed overall with how rounded this story is, and I'm curious to see where it goes. Don't know that it's for everybody, because at the end of the day, it is a love story, but I just like how much more depth there is to it. On the other side of the spectrum, we have Villainous Level 99. This one is pretty much exactly what it says on the tin. This is a comedy anime where a girl is reincarnated as the secret boss in a dating game sim who essentially is the strongest character in the game, and she basically decides that she's not going to, you know, through another, because the person is from our world and likes gaming and also doesn't want to die, he levels her character up to level 99 before she even gets to like where the game starts. And basically a lot of the comedy is just that this girl is OP and socially awkward and doesn't really understand what she does like scares the crap out of other people. Like how she leveled up. Well, she doesn't use protection runes. She uses all the stuff that would help her level up, which in a world where you can die is kind of terrifying to a lot of people. But she doesn't care. She's like, I've had my arm cut off before. It's fine. I can just grow it back. It's like, because magic. So yeah, I think that is a conversation on there. It's like, you know, I don't think I can grow my head back, but I should try that sometime. I was like, So there is a lot of comedy in this, and I will say, obviously, it's a villainous anime, so there is a romance subplot, but I think for me, the best thing is just kind of watching her kind of interact and develop as a person, because this person is so socially inept and doesn't understand what's going on around her, but also watching her try to kind of befriend the main character, befriend these other people, and kind of finally fall into a group that appreciates her and understands her at least in some way. It was, I will say, it does have some bad CG later on, because she gets a dragon and they decide to do the CG thing, and I think that was a mistake. So,
oh no.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot to like in this one, but it, and I think apparently Reddit R anime seems to think so too, because this is like in their top six of the week, which I kind of am surprised, because I don't think it's that good. But it's pretty good.
Logan said it's not good, you guys.
I'm just like, look, I thought it was just a comedy gag anime that I was watching, but apparently people really like it. So there you go. Yeah, I think that's all of it for my villainous shows. So
nice.
I hope so. Now that I'm done ranting, Ozzy, you can talk about a show that I haven't watched and just take your time. Sign of Affection. What's going on with that?
Yeah, I'll take my time. Sign of Affection. Yeah, there is no villainous here. There is romance here, though. And that's what this is. This is a straight-up romance. It has a unique-ish twist. I wouldn't say it's unique because it's not been done before, just because it's not really... Usually romances are a little bit more straightforward. But basically, the main character is a girl who's deaf. And that kind of plays into the whole story because she deals... They do a good job of kind of showing her interactions of day-to-day situations. And not just kind of like, oh, she's just a girl, she has problems, right? So that part, I think that's what makes it a little bit, different in the fact that you're not just dealing with like people communicating back and forth, but you're dealing with a language barrier there. Because as much as, you know, she can understand speaking mouths, there are the, you know, moving mouths. She can not necessarily always read them correctly. And the main guy who she's into... you know, he actually doesn't speak or sign language, or he doesn't sign. Excuse me, you can't speak sign language, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the main character, Yuki, like I said, she is deaf, but she is kind of she's there. This is a setting of like college-ish. They're all about 19, 20. So that's one thing that I will praise, is I love this setting. This is so much better for me to kind of appreciate than middle school, high school settings, just because I can take this a little more seriously. Them kind of meeting people and interacting in these situations where they can kind of really appreciate their personalities and kind of quote-unquote fall in love is more relatable to me. But there's that aspect that I really enjoy. So... basically, the human interactions is a very kind of... Sometimes when it comes down to that, I really do enjoy that. I do enjoy that part of this anime. It has a lot of comedy, too. Basically, whenever there's misinterpretations of things or misunderstandings because of the language barriers, it's kind of funny. One thing I will knock this one for that I don't really see a lot of people saying much, because this is a very... highly favorited show. I'm actually surprised again that this one is so high, because I didn't think that subreddit or majority of people would really gravitate towards a romance this strongly, because it's, I guess it does have its cute moments, maybe. But one thing I will knock is the pacing of the romance. So I like a good build of romance. I like a good, you know, like take a few episodes and then it kind of maybe hits them. And I don't necessarily... I understand that there's there's different sides of it. Because there are, you know, shows where it takes seasons between the two main characters before they can actually get together and fall in love. And even maybe even get to the point where they can talk about feelings. But this one, by episode two, the girl was, you know, 100% in love. She was like, oh, I'm in love with this guy that she just met, like, 2 days ago. And to me, that just seemed a little not realistic. And... again, it's hard because I look at romances, and to me, romances should be on the more realistic side. But that could just be how I go into romances. I think sometimes people go into romances and they just kind of want to live vicariously. They just want to see the highlights of romance. They don't want to actually maybe see the everyday of romance, and that's fine. And I think people can enjoy that, because I think this does it well. This highlights the good parts of romance. It highlights the awkward moments, but you know, it doesn't really... do it in a realistic manner. So if you're looking just for the highlights, this will be definitely one that you enjoy. But that's my main gripe, is that just the pacing's just kind of off. Like, again,
so you'd prefer the ones where they like wait two seasons and then like
she
confesses in the middle of like a fireworks show, but he doesn't hear her, and that's just like
yes. No, honestly, it reminded me of one. God, what was the one that was called? It was the one where the girl. This was a professional setting. Both these characters, I think. No, wait, were they professional?
Worked together?
I think they worked together.
Was this another one where the main character was deaf, or is this
no? The main character was just kind of a reserved girl, which is again another. I mean, she is reserved too. And,
well, I don't know. There's too many.
But
like
it literally took
man.
Like 6 episodes out of 12, and well, maybe even 8. So it was kind of near the end of first season, and I really enjoyed that pacing. To me, that seemed a little bit better, but that's just me. But overall, I can see why people like it. I think the whole, you know, what's it called, deaf approach is interesting. I just think that the main character, Yuki, she's a little bit naive to me. Again, falling in love in like 2 days. You know, she's the guy she falls in love with, I forgot his name, it's like Itsumaru or something like that. He's like a traveler, so he's Japanese, but he travels very like often. I don't know where he gets all his money, probably his parents. But he's like going to like Cambodia, like Indonesia, like
good
random
Lord.
Places, like for the weekend or for like a week. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he goes to school either. But basically, like when she meets him and he tells her about like her stories, like she seems very innocent and like doesn't understand how like traveling works or like other cultures. And to me, like in this day and age, I feel like most people would understand those things. Like, you know, if you use social media, if you kind of just are just out there. I mean, I don't know if it's maybe because of her being deaf that she's not as open to those things, but I don't think that should limit you in kind of seeing the world.
Right.
So that part I don't necessarily love. She just seems kind of like almost this guy is her knight in shining armor to society. And it's like, but why? To me, I don't necessarily love that part of her. So
it's got some generic bits, but
definitely
the
generic part of like the romance that people like, where it's like the girl's like kind of being brought out of her shell by the guy who's kind of like being very straightforward, which I have seen people complain that he's a little too straightforward. Like literally the first episode where they met, he put his hands on her, he like touched her head, which to some people that's a no-no. Like you shouldn't be touching random strangers, especially in an affectionate way, right?
Yeah,
especially a deaf person, I would think, because they don't sometimes they can't really perceive if someone's near them, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, they did cover that in one of the episodes, which I did like. You know, they do talk about certain situations that a deaf person might not be comfortable with or might not perceive the same way that, you know, a person with hearing would have. So, but there are good things to this one. There are cute moments. It's animated very well. I think the characters look good. The designs are good. And I really do think if you're into romances and you're into like more of a, I just want to feel good and see the happy moments, I think this is it. This is highly rated for you for sure if you're into that.
Gotcha. All right. Well, not as many happy moments in our next one. I guess there's a few, but Metallic Rouge. So honestly, do you want to go ahead and get into this one first, Ozzy?
I guess. I'll just continue rambling, I guess. But Metallic Rouge, that was actually one that I think maybe I had kind of talked about.
You
mainly
had highlighted it as a potential good one for the season.
Yeah. Yeah, Metallic Rouge. I saw it, and I mean, it's done by Studio Bones, which has a very good track record.
They have a great track record. Yeah.
And then, I don't know, the styling of the show kind of seemed like it wanted to go for like a retro's 80s punkish kind of vibe.
Well, and the plot also seemed pretty darn interesting.
Yeah, that's true. It talked about cyborgs and stuff like that, androids, and kind of dealing with society and kind of like the coexisting of the two. So it seems like a plot that's kind of been talked about a lot recently. So I was like, this could do it well too. Well, let's check it out. But basically the main character, her name is Rouge. She's kind of, this is the part. This is kind of where I'm kind of going with. Honestly, I don't really know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I mean, I'm 4 or 5 episodes in, and I know that the main character, Rouge, and her friend, Naomi, are on a mission to collect, like, kind of the souls of these mecha... Oh, they're cyborgs. They're cyborgs that, like, transform because she's also one of them. But basically there's like 7 or 8, I want to say. I forget how many there are.
Yeah, and there's specific type of cyborgs because they're like, they can go against orders or something. I forget what the deal is.
I don't know. They can hurt each other, but I don't think they can hurt... I still don't think they can hurt humans, or maybe they can.
I think that's what their deal was, is that they don't have to follow whatever Asimov's law. Maybe they don't follow orders,
yeah. Yeah. Right, so like, just like any other android ones, the android kind of stories, this one has its own set of rules that it plays by, where like the androids have to follow orders, A, the androids have to replenish themselves using some kind of material, B, and then C, sometimes, one of the main laws is that they can't hurt humans, right? So that kind of makes it, it kind of keeps it in a box, so it's easy to not have all these questions like, oh, what happens if this, what happens if this? And it also, it makes it easy, so when you do have a situation like that, it makes it interesting. So it's kind of an easy write, I think, but whatever. But my problem with this show is... I really want to like it because I like the aesthetics. I like the character designs. I really like the mecha aspect of it because, like I said, they transform into these mecha, like, androids kind of thing.
Yeah, these, like, super fighters.
Yeah, and and every one of them's different, so they're all, like, they all have, like, their unique abilities. So that part I've enjoyed a little bit. I will say that they don't do it often enough. I think they just do it at the end of the episode, and it's like a few minutes, and then it's done. So I don't get enough of it. But I don't know if they know where they're going with the story yet, because like I said, I'm 4 to 5 episodes in, and it just, I don't know where we're going. Like, it just, every time they're in a new place, they're fighting somebody new, they're getting this new bot, but what are they going after? If they're trying to do like a, what's it called, like a plot twist at the end, it seems like they're not really laying any crumbs for us to kind of have an inkling, or maybe have a opposite inkling, like look one way. I just don't know what to think.
I'll be honest, like, I don't know where we started with this one, because like, I think that was my biggest problem with the show, was I don't know who these two characters are or why they're doing what they're doing. Yeah. I just know they're like,
you don't get a background.
Know that that's what they're doing, and it's like
you don't even know what they're doing. They're just collecting these things for what?
Right, and you think there's these people chasing after them, but then it turns out they're not really totally chasing after them. They're kind of just doing their own thing. It does, like you said, it's got that kind of Monster of the Week vibe too, like we were talking about earlier, where it's just like, we have this whole thing we're building to all episode, then they have a big fight at the end of the episode, then they either get the thing or something else happens and they have to go do something else. I do like how crazy the world has been built up to, but it's very incoherent, and I think it's so much stuff that it's kind of like I struggle to put the puzzle pieces together. Because like you said, Ozzy, this seems to be a story about androids and being oppressed and kind of rising up, and I was kind of getting ready for that in the first episode, where it's like, okay, these people are using this drug... that the androids have to take this drug to survive every day, or I guess whatever it is, I don't know, some kind of chemical compound. But humans like using it too, because it gets them really high, so there's this whole thing about fighting over this drug. And then the second episode, where they kind of like don't even touch on that at all.
They don't come back to that.
They don't touch on it anymore. Now it's like, why do these androids exist? Oh, there were aliens. And we had to fight off the aliens, so we made the androids to fight the aliens. And it's just like, what the fuck is this shit? And then they, like, an alien hunter pod, like, attacks and blows them up. And I think in the third episode, they don't talk about that anymore, because they got to go to the android underground, where, like,
that's true, where
this kid is raising, I guess not really the resistance, but he's kind of like... trying to create a safe...
Well, they live in harmony, but, you know, I think, like, again, and this is part of the, more than likely, the overarching story, which also kind of came out of nowhere. It's like, all of a sudden, like, oh, someone's laying these breadcrumbs for there to be infighting between the humans and the cyborgs. But, like, when did this become the topic now, instead of talking about, oh, you know, they take their drugs or their daily, you know, food, right, or whatever, right. A region, or like you said, like they used to be what they fought for, and there's aliens out there. Like, there's a lot of jumping around.
But meanwhile, all this has happened, and I still don't even know who the fuck the main characters are. Like, I know who they are, as in this character is a main character, but I don't know anything about their background. I don't even know what they do. Like, Rouge is just there, and I kind of assumed from the first episode that she was kind of like
a ditz, and then she's like good at fighting because I've seen that stereotype elsewhere. But then she makes some like really smart decisions in the next episodes, and I'm like, so is she just pretending to be a ditz, or what's the deal with that? Her partner doesn't seems to like her, but also doesn't seem to care for her like safety. And I'm like,
yeah, there well, was that one moment where deal? She's just like, oh, you're a weapon, like you just need to be do what you're told. And then like the next episode, they're like best friends. I'm like, that doesn't just happen out of nowhere. I don't know. It was bad writing just to get the plot going, right?
It seems kind of like all over the place. And I'm like, I don't know if they have like different writers each episode, or if maybe it's going to turn out that there's some twist where it's like everything has been in a bunch of different dimensions or something silly like that. But I'm just like, I'm very confused about what, not just what is happening with the story, but like, who are the characters? Where is the through line? Like, why are they acting the way they are and behaving differently in each episode? Like, at the end of the day, I mean, I would compare it again to Witch and the Beast, where it's just like, I could just view this and be like, it's a Monster of the Week thing, and they're fighting something cool at the end of every week, and not worry about everything else. But I'm older. I like to know what's going on in my story. I'm more story-focused, obviously. And look, to be fair, the art's really good, so I do give it that. And as we talked about with Witch and the Beast, sometimes that makes a big difference. But I just need something. I need something to hold on to in this story, because it's just too much. There's too much random stuff all going on all at once. But yeah, that's... I'm probably going to keep watching it just to see where it goes. But yeah, at this point, I'm kind of like... just done as far as
I mean, I'll definitely watch it just to see definitely where it goes. Just because I would be interested to see how, like, I am interested enough to see who the hell is like driving this and why. I mean, I don't think it's done well. I think it's just maybe me just having that curiosity. I mean, there's a difference between having a show that kind of sets up this want to know, this want to be like, hey, what, who is pulling these strings? Who was leading? Like, who maybe, you know, influence the main characters, Rouge and Naomi, to do this. Like, I have nothing. I don't have any want for that. I don't understand what's going on. I understand what's going on. I just don't have any interest in, like, why. Yeah. But I do have an interest just because I kind of want to know, in general, what the hell these guys are thinking when it comes to writing.
Yeah, it's simultaneously a very interesting show and a very frustrating show. So, but yeah, give it a watch if you get a chance, and tell us if we're wrong and we're just missing the point. Next up, Ninja Kamui, a show where the point is very straightforward. So you gotta love a vengeance tale, man. It's just so simple. We talked about Blue-Eyed Samurai from last season, and all this is a straight-up vengeance tale. It's like, you got ninjas. They don't like ninjas leaving their clan. Somebody left the clan a long time ago, had a family. They find him, kill his family. He's out for fucking vengeance. Like, what else do you fucking need? It's there. It's perfect. The art in this show is so good. And the action, man, I cannot believe how well put together the action is. There's frames where I'll be like, what just happened? But if you go back and you freeze frame it, you can actually see the minute details on a frame by frame of like, this guy like threw something, or this guy split off, you know, like,
oh, well,
yeah, it's crazy how detailed the animation
and
is
that's a good point, because I always make a point to try to catch that, especially because this uses a lot of the fast movement kind of stuff that you would think would be kind of lazy animation, but they do the details even in that fast animation, right? You know, if they cut off an arm, you can see the arm bounce away with whatever was in his hand, right? It's not just cut off the arm and then it kind of fades away into nothing, right? Like, all those things are detailed out, and I was very impressed with that. I do want to just kind of reiterate that point.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a lot to like in this show. I don't know if I put it on my top tier list for the season yet, because I just started watching it. This kind of got released a little later in the season than most. But I gotta say, I've been very impressed with what I've seen so far.
It's also not released on an anime streaming service.
Yeah, it's Max, right?
It's Max or Sling.
It's Cartoon Network.
It's on Cartoon Network, sorry. So that's what it's on.
It's an Adult Swim, yeah. It's an Adult Swim original. I think you know more about this. Do you want to talk about who the artist is and all that? Or the director, I guess?
So the director is actually, Soing-Hoo Park, who actually was involved with Jujutsu Kaisen. I was curious because, again, I had the feeling of Jujutsu Kaisen when I first watched this, just because of the action scenes, and I recognized the name. So, but yes, he did Jujutsu Kaisen, and he did Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, which is the movie. But so that's the director. I can see some similarities, like I said, in the action. The animation studio I don't know of, and I don't really know anything that they've done. It's called E&H Production, so not really sure there. Like you said, it's on Adult Swim. Very hard to, not super hard to find, but not easily accessible as the majority of everything else on our list was. But we did get to watch it, like I said. Joe Huygen is the name of the main character. And you basically just, you spilled it out. It's a vengeance story. He's out for a vengeance against the clan that he abandoned because they frown upon leaving, right? Like you said. And it's just a bunch of gore and a bunch of fighting and lots of like adult conversations, just kind of, lots of, not kind of like beating around the bush, just straight to the point. So like you said, it is very straightforward. It knows what it's about. So if you're into that, I highly recommend this because everything else is kind of, it does it well, right?
Yeah, it also does have some tinges of John Wick where it's like there's clearly rules to how the underground works. And I do love the line. I think it was in the first or second episode where he catches the guy who actually killed his family. He catches him right away. And the guy's like, I'm never going to tell. And he's like, yeah, I know. He's just going to torture this guy.
Yeah, honestly, that's a great... Yeah. I've only seen clips of John Wick. I've never really been interested in that. But this is very much Ninja John Wick. So take out there are still guns, I think. But basically, just substitute guns and shooters with ninjas and swords. And a little bit of... I was not expecting this. A little bit of, magic, not magic, but like whatever you would call it in a ninja sense.
Higher technology? Yeah.
No. Ninjutsu? Like ninjutsu. Like there's jutsu. Like this guy did like this weird, like.
He did the acupuncture thing.
He summons like arms.
Oh, yeah.
He basically does like the TN thing where he like grows an extra like four arms and he starts attacking two dudes.
Yeah, I forgot.
So like that came out of the left field and it was kind of, it was fucking dope. Like it doesn't really make sense and it doesn't have to because it's anime, but. This one definitely came out of left field and surprised us, and we're enjoying it. Definitely recommend it if you can find it. Let us know how it is.
If you have cable in this day.
That's the
age.
Thing. It also is in English. I don't necessarily love the English actors. Again, it's really hard for me to listen to it in English. There is a dub and a sub. I did watch each on a few episodes back and forth. I highly prefer the Japanese and sub.
I didn't hate the English, but it's good. Yeah. Point is, go watch it. Next up, so another one that you're a big favorite of, Butchigiri. So, I guess I'll just go ahead and get into my thoughts because I'm not as high on it. This one is a cute kind of idea. Basically, the idea is, there's a school with a bunch of delinquents that love fighting each other. And our main character happens to be going there for some reason. I didn't really catch if that was explained or not. But point being, he's going there. But all he wants to do is he wants to get girls. He wants to get a girl. He wants to get, like, this particular girl who is a big deal. Point being, try not to give away too much. But he gets beat up, and in the process, he summons a genie. The genie is a fight genie. So any wish that he grants has to come in the way of, like, fighting. And basically, I don't even know, because he didn't really give him... He gave him, like, the power to punch good, is basically what he gave him. When he asked to, like, help get a girlfriend, it makes more sense if you watch the fucking show. Point being, it's a comedy. It is a little out there. In fact, it's a lot out there. But it's fun and it's nuts. There are definitely some drawbacks, and I guess I'll get to that in a second. Ozzy, you got more to say about it than I do. What do you want to touch on?
Yeah, so this is one show, one of the shows where I'm visually, like, drawn to immediately. And I think I was looking forward to it because it's done by MAPPA as well, which, you know, everyone knows that they have a good track record when it comes to animation. And again, like I said, visually, I like it. A lot of the characters have unique kind of looks. They look very clean. And I will say that's one thing that this show does well. The animation as a whole is very clean, very colorful, lots of style. And I like that. It looks good. Lots of detail in the background of, like, it's not just a wall. It has, like, stickers, random things, like some graffiti. They do time to kind of build the world that they're in. But basically, it comes down to that the show is, it's kind of a fighter's, like, gang, but in a fun, kind of weird situation. Like, one of them, the main character, Arijin, and this is probably where you are going to have your negative, and I honestly agree, he's probably the weakest character out of everyone introduced.
And not, like, just in terms of, like, fighting.
From a fighting sense,
he's just kind of boring.
Yeah, he's the weakest character from a personality standpoint, for sure.
Yeah, he doesn't want much, he doesn't do much, he's not driven by anything. He gets this magical genie, and all he wants to do is go out with this girl who very clearly hates his guts. unrequited love.
Unrequited love.
And meanwhile, he's punching all these dudes, and these dudes are like, I think I'm in love.
So, yeah.
There's a lot of comedy to be had there, but it's just like, this guy is so... I wish the main character was more involved in the world. He doesn't even seem to know what's going on sometimes.
And honestly, I was watching a few episodes yesterday, and there was maybe half an episode where he wasn't even involved at all.
Yeah.
And, like, it was multiple episodes. It wasn't just, like, half an episode, which is fine. There are shows do that. But, like, I don't know. Like, I totally forgot that he was around. And then he came back. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Arijin is here. But, you know, there are weird characters. Like, the one that you're talking about, Maruto, is, like, one of the leaders of the gangs that he kind of joins. That the girl that he loves is actually related to. And, like, he does, like, his, like, one punch kind of, like, situation where he... Like, basically, this guy finds this genie who gives him the power to win fights because he just likes him, because he said his goal was to, like, lose his virginity. And, like, they use that as, like, the common, like when they fuse, he's like, let's do this so I can lose my virginity. So it's a little cringy, but also kind of funny depending on the situation. But anyway, the genie merges with him and he can use this, like, right punch that, like, absolutely, like, knocks people out. So that part, animation wise, is kind of fun. It's always cool looking. But they're playing up the idea that they're getting to a future where they can fuse and be better. Kind of like what's it called? Like, what's it called? What's the show with the... Oh, God. I'm blanking all of a sudden.
You're not giving me a lot to work with here.
Yes. It's the one where they have souls and they... Of, like, old warriors, and they, like, harness them and, like...
This is an older one, isn't it?
What the hell is his name? I'm blanking, I'm sorry. But basically, I think they're getting to the point where he will in the future be able to harmonize with this genie and, like, I guess be synchronized with him for longer periods instead of just one punch. Because, you know, it gets there. But the fights are cool. The other main, like I said, all the other side characters are much more interesting. I will say that the other kind of quote-unquote main character, Madokara, is his, like, best friend from when he was a kid. And apparently they had a falling out, but for the first four or five episodes, they bring it up, but they don't do anything about it. They just bring it up to, like, add tension. And it's really annoying, that part at least, because I don't know, like... Again, and this is kind of playing into why the main character has no personality.
They clearly fucked at some point. I don't know what is going on.
There might be that aspect, and that's fun.
And I'm like, I also don't want to make this weird, because it's like, I don't want to make it sound like I'm against this or whatever, but this show was surprisingly gay. I was like, wow, there is a lot of guy love going around in this show. I was not expecting it.
I mean, and these guys love to fist.
They love to fist. Yes. They are all about a good fisting. I get who this show is for. I think if I was younger, I would actually... Man, I am saying that a lot this episode. If I was younger... I just had my birthday. I'm fucking old.
That's true.
If I was younger, I would probably be enjoying this a lot more than I actually am. But as it stands,
there's just... there's missing pieces to that would make this story more interesting. Like, I want the main character to realize what's going on. I want the main character to be more involved and more driven. I want these other characters to have their backstories, like, actually explained so I can know why I care about what they have going on in their lives. And it's just not quite there.
And I think it's just taking its time, which to some people, I think that's fine, but to... I can understand where that's kind of like, okay, can you get to it by now? Like, I want them, I want everything to matter. I don't want it. It's okay for you to say, oh, we're going to give you a little bit, but we're not going to give you everything. I don't think they're giving you anything at all. Again, it's the very, very much like we were talking about with Metallic Rouge. It's like they touch on it, but they don't really delve into it enough to make you care. You don't care about the characters. And I'm a little bit higher on it because I like the way this looks. I like the comedy a little bit better. And maybe that's making me forgive these other, you know, negatives, because these negatives they can work on, because with a little bit of pacing, with a little bit of more episodes, I think they can get past that, right?
Yeah.
That's just about how they drive the story. Yeah, you can say the first half's a little slow. It depends on how they deliver on the second.
I guess I was also just surprised. I don't know. I don't want to rag on it too much because there's a lot. It does introduce a lot of characters very early on, and then it kind of doesn't explain them. And I wish it had been the other way around, where it's like, let's start with the core characters and let's build up. Instead, it's kind of like, by the second episode, I think there's like 10 or 12 characters that you're like, all of these guys have their own stories going on. And I'm like, well, it's a good gag comedy, and I don't disagree with that assessment. I just think that... it's one of those where it'll either hit for you or it's not going to hit. In my case, it didn't hit. I don't disagree that it definitely has some great traits. I just, you know, it either is or it isn't for you. So, there you go. All right. Next up. So, this one, I guess, was supposed to be the big action of the season. Solo Leveling. You know what, Ozzy? I'll let you take it. Go ahead. Solo Leveling Warrior. What do you think of this guy so far?
So, Solo Leveling, I think everyone kind of knows this guy. It's basically not an isekai. This guy kind of, I guess it's like a reverse isekai where the world comes to him, right?
Yeah.
It's like, so this, the main guy, Jinwoo, they live in a world where everyone, not everyone, but there's certain people that have abilities and they're hunters. Kind of like, they don't necessarily have like super unique abilities, I would say. Well, some of them do, right? But either way, there's like tiers to every hunter. You know, you have your S grade, you have your A grade, all the way down to D grade. And this guy happens to be one of the worst, if not the worst, hunter of all time.
Yeah.
And to make money and to live, they have to go to these like raids and like get materials and beat monsters. That's the setting. He comes upon this one dungeon where he goes and, in a weird way, somehow unlocks this game within his own life where he can literally just...
He basically beats this particularly brutal dungeon, and he's not even 100% sure how he beat it. And because he does that, it unlocks for him to get this extra power.
He gains the ability the power to be a game character where he can increase his stats. Because in the world that he lives in, you don't really get better. You might hone your skills, but if you're a B level character in like as a hunter, you don't become an S character. You might become an A character, but you don't like necessarily like go from being bad to good. And he finds a way to kind of go around that by being able to increase his abilities. And we're talking like One Punch Man style things where it's like, oh yeah, he ran 10 miles and did 1,000 push-ups and did 1,000 sit-ups, and he's gaining all these points, and he's, you know, upgrading himself, right?
Yeah.
So very much like an RPG, your favorite aspects where you're like, oh, let me add it into faith. Let me add it into strength. Same concept. He gets to do that. He becomes kind of crazy OP. I will say that one thing that it does well so far is that it took a few episodes to kind of see him kind of get to a higher level. Like every other episode, he was fighting maybe a C level and then a B level. And then he got to the point where it's like he might be higher than A level. So it doesn't necessarily all of a sudden kind of flip the switch. What does flip the switch with the character Jinwoo is his personality, which is a negative for me with the show. I think this show does a really good job of the action, the RPG things, because it also does a good job of doing RPG moments in a kind of a negative aspect where, you know, he has these penalties happen if he doesn't complete these trials. So it's not just all good, right? Like, there's a one episode where he had to, like, run 10,000 miles, and they're like, or 10 miles.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh, yeah, run 10 miles. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that today. He got a penalty. He ended up having to run, like, 100 miles.
Ended up on dune. He was running from a sandworm. Yeah,
running from a sandworm, basically.
Yeah,
so little things like that. I like that they take the extra effort to not just be like, hey, you have to do everything for good, right? There's some things that can negatively impact him. But what I was getting back to is his sudden change in personality. So I understand that Jinwoo has now become this, like, top-tier character. Again, the isekai kind of feel. Again, not an isekai, but it's got the feel of him being, like, OP, like, crazy. Like, no one can stand up to him. He can easily defeat the next boss just kind of by wishing it. And unfortunately, that has kind of changed his personality, because he was a very wholesome, like, very caring kind of individual in the first episode. You know, he was with a group that were doing a raid, and, you know, he felt bad for the situation. He wanted to help as much as possible, even though he knew he was terrible. He was very, like, wanting to please. And now he's, like, this Giga Chad. And to me, like, the flip of a switch to that is kind of jarring to me. I don't know if that bothers you, or if you kind of see that as much as I do, but...
Yeah, so I guess my opinion, like, first off, this is a manhwa, and it's been long waiting for this one to be adapted.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's very popular, and I think the other thing is, like, this was one of the big ones where it's the art style was really what sold it, because the art is insane. And I will say,
the art is very good.
The art is very good in this one, too. Yeah, I think that was one of my turnoffs on the show, is it eventually, in fact, it very quickly kind of turned into the Naruto situation where it's like, I'm not watching this anymore because I'm interested in this guy's journey. I'm watching it to see, okay, how does this end? Because this guy is too OP, and this is ridiculous. But he does flip a switch, I think, pretty early on. I'm not exactly sure I remember which episode, but it's like, he used to be a genuinely nice guy who is, like, doing his best to help everybody. And then, like, at a certain point, it just switches because he's, like, he murders a member of his team. Now, granted, I think they were going to kill him, too.
He murdered, like, six of them, but
Yeah, they were going to kill him,
too.
It was
in self-defense.
It was sort of in self-defense, but the way he acted during it is, like, he kind of enjoyed, like, just killing these guys. I was like, oh, this is getting a little weird here. His personality gets very dark and stoic, kind of out of nowhere. And I will say, I think at the end of the story, they try to roll that back and be like, here's the reason for it. But I'm like, very clearly at the time, they were more focused on making him OP first, and then didn't really think about how that
is. It's kind of like they wanted to make him like a complete badass without, like, the ramifications of, like, maybe his original personality not necessarily being a badass. And that's fine. Like, you can be a badass in a physical or dominant, like, technique-wise, but, like, you don't have to act like a badass mentally or stoically. Like, that's not necessarily, like, quote-unquote badass to me. I mean, you can be goofy and still be badass, but, or you can be, you know, analytical and, you know, maybe, not wholesome, but, like, caring and thoughtful and be badass. But they just completely, like, rewrote his personality.
Yeah, his character basically got overwritten. And I think that's the weird part to me. I think it was also, and this is just a general problem with the story itself. What originally I got into about the story is the other world had a lot of, like, really, the one that he beat had a lot of weird rules that he had to figure out. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a mental game, or he's going to have to figure something out. And there is still that aspect to an extent, but to Ozzy's point, it very quickly becomes just like, I can do anything. I'm unstoppable.
Right. Like, it has the aspects of, like, Shangri-La, if you watch that, where it's like, hey, I have to use this crit bonus to hit him in the right spot. Like, they do that stuff, but they kind of just glance over it, where Shangri-La, I think, does it better. Where they kind of grow on that and they do different aspects, and if it doesn't work or he has to kind of reassess the situation. This guy, like, there was an episode where he just, like, kept getting beat up and he's like, I'm just going to run this timeout. And then, you know, his initial idea was just to run the timeout, but he ended up beating him just because he kept going back. Like, it was very much tropey to that extent. Yeah, where it's just like,
very weird.
He's going to win because he's OP. And like, I understand him getting better in situations and him learning a situation, but they don't expand on that either. They're not like, oh, he's learning how to deal with his boss, or he's learning how to deal with his enemy, but they don't talk about that. They're just saying, oh, this fourth time, this is the time. He's going to win for sure.
Yeah. This is very much a rule of cool. And
yep, again, absolutely. This is and it does it well, because the rule of cool part does it well. The animation's top tier, honestly, of the season. They do a great job with like all the enemies, all the animations, you know, the characters themselves. And like the other people too, like it's not just the main character who has cool animations and stuff like that, right? So I think they do that well. I think the music's good. I think the setting is cool. Like you said, they have intricate parts to it. I think it's just when you introduce an OP character, sometimes it's an easy out, right?
Yeah, and I think that's the problem, is it's like the story really has nowhere to go. Then it becomes the Avengers or the Dragon Ball Z problem, where it's like the story has nowhere to go but up to create something even more insane for this guy to fight, and then of course he just deals with it. I mean, spoiler, not spoiler, I guess, but you know, it's an interesting story, and I think the art and the action are fantastic. I just don't think there's a whole lot of depth to it, and if you're okay with that, more and power sometimes to
that's
you.
Fine. No, I mean, yeah, I watch it for that. I'm watching it because it's a good action show. It's every now and then I get, you know, a positive out of just seeing somebody just come back and beat just because he can.
I will say, of the, like, this one's not quite a monster of the week because there is a lot of slow builds in the story. But, I mean, to the point, if I'm comparing it to any of the other two that we talked about, Metallic Rouge and then Witch and the Beast, the art and action in this one just blow both better. Of those Absolutely. Out of the water. So, it's... There's a reason we like it, and I think this is definitely one that people should at least check out to see if they like it. Last up, probably our favorite of the season right now, Delusion and Dungeon, or Dungeon Meshi, as it were.
What are your thoughts on this one? Because I was originally kind of into it because it is a Trigger anime. It's a Studio Trigger anime, and honestly, the initial concept was like, wow, this is kind of weird. Let's check it out. But what are your thoughts on this?
So I kind of like the plot, where it's basically just like... The plot is a bunch of different things, really. But like, I like that there is kind of a driving force behind why they got to do what they're doing. Which is just that like, there are a bunch of adventurers. One of their buddies or one of their party members kind of gets... KO'd or like stuck in a certain part of the dungeon without giving too much away, and they're like, well, we gotta go get her, but we don't have a lot of money, so how are we gonna feed ourselves going all the way through this dungeon? We're gonna eat the fucking monsters. And I'm like, that's really what the show is. It's about them eating monsters, and it's gets very absurd very quickly. Like, I'm sure Ozzy, you'll talk about it, but there are jewels, there are metal, like there are like armor pieces. It gets very weird very quick, but I think at the entire time it's like the characters are who they are. The story is still a driving force. It's not like they're just eating monsters to eat monsters. They're on a mission. They're on a moving towards a goal. And I just like the way that all the characters interact with each other and on this kind of wild journey is very good. And as you point out, Studio Trigger, I never even really thought about it because a lot of it is just cooking and watching food, but the action's really good, the art's really good. I'm very impressed overall with this story. For something that's such a basic kind of cute plot, I think I've kind of really... We keep talking about shallowness and depth here. This story's got a lot going on with its characters, and you want to learn more about them and you want to spend more time with them. So you tell me now, because you don't want me to just rant for a couple more hours. Go ahead. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, this one, it's very cute. I very much enjoyed watching this one. I thought it would be a little, I don't know, I wasn't sure what to expect, really, because I understand that the whole, like, food aspect was a big thing with this, but they do a really good job in kind of playing it into their everyday activities, right? Like, so it's a very casual show. It very much feels like a week-to-week show. Not Monster of the Week, but maybe Activity of the Week. because, you know, sometimes they'll be going to a different part of the dungeon where they have to, you know, deal with golems, and they have to
ghosts
deal with ghosts. You know, I guess it is monster of the week, but basically because of that, they have to
more like meal of the week.
Yeah, meal of the week, perfect. But because of that, they have to deal with this monster in a different way. It's not just brute force. Sometimes they have to think about it. Sometimes they have to approach it and maybe like find a way to best them. And then at the end of it, they always end up using these monsters as some form of meal or maybe resource. And that part, it's formulaic, but it's cute. And I mean, so far it's not overdone. I've really enjoyed it.
Overdone.
It's nice and medium rare.
Yeah, cooking well. Anyway, yeah.
But you're good. yeah, the characters are really, really cute. The main character, Laos, Marcel, Senshi, and Chili Chuck. I did not know his name was Chili Chuck. Chilchuck.
Chilchuck. Okay.
Yeah, he's the trap disarmer.
Yes.
Again,
yes.
I like that these characters. There's only four. They're all individually like confident, right? They all have their own thing that they're good at, and they're not afraid to be like, "That's my thing." Like, you chill out, or "This is my thing. Let me do it." Or "This is my thing. Let me help." So it is fun to see that they all kind of have their own, you know, confidence. And when they butt heads, it's very funny when it comes to butting heads and it comes to the food, because they each have their own, you know, maybe way of looking at it. Because really the main character, Laos, is the only one that really, really wants to eat these monsters. I guess the cook too, Senshi. They're like, "Yeah, let's do this. This sounds fun." But the other two, Marcel and Chilchuck, are like, "Maybe. It depends. It depends.
Kind of, that is another thing that I like about this. There's been a lot of D&D style anime out recently. Obviously, Goblin Slayer. Frieren's another good example. This is the first one that's captured what it's actually like to be with friends at the table, where it's like, these two idiots want to go do their own fucking thing. And I'm like, can we focus on the goal here? And then you try to like do your thing, and they're like, "Oh no, I want to do this." It's just like, when Chilchuck is trying to do the lockpicks, and Senshi keeps like fucking getting in his way and fucking everything up, and he's just like, "God damn it, can you stop?" I'm like, yeah, it's fun because you're like, I can relate to that. I mean, even if you haven't played D&D before, I'm sure people have friends like that where it's just like, you know, you're out one night and it's like, "We're going to go to this bar." It's like, "But I don't want to go to this bar." "But no, that's where we're going because these idiots want to go there." Yeah, it's kind of like that kind of stuff. I love it.
And we're only talking about the characters and like kind of the, I would think is the majority of the show, but really one of the big emphases is the food. And we haven't even talked about that, because I think it does a good job there, because every episode it kind of focuses on a different type of food. It focuses on using a different type of monster. And I like, it's very much like Slice of Life, or like, Slice of Life, where they go into the details. Kind of like Do-It-Yourself, where they go into like, "Oh, this is how you would build a shelf." Just the same thing with food. They're like, "Oh yeah, instead of using meat, we're going to use, these bat hogs that shoot electricity, so they have a different flavor, or they're Cajun-y or whatever." I don't know. I'm just pulling it out of my ass. But basically like that, you know?
Well, like,
and
like,
they show you how they actually cook this stuff. At one point, they find oil that they use for like lighting.
I was gonna say, lighting, fucking oil.
Yeah, the oil to like light some fire in a dungeon. They're like, "Oh, we could use that to fucking tempura defrost
some
shit.
Let's go."
It was so funny. I don't know. And, you know, they use like the chilling of ghost to chill some leftover stuff they had, and they turn it into sorbet. So like, they think about these things. They're not just pulling out of their ass. Obviously it's not real, because you can't really do that.
Yeah, which is, I'm kind of fascinated. Like, do you think they'll release a cookbook? Because the food looks fantastic, and they are using like real techniques. Granted, using like fantasy aspects of them. Yeah. But
I would really love to see Binging with Babish try to do one of these somehow.
Yeah, I don't know
if you ever seen his stuff where he just takes like a random show.
Yeah,
and he's like, "Oh, this, I'm gonna make it. Obviously, I'm gonna make it, and it's gonna be terrible because it's not a real thing. But then I'm gonna try to make it for reals," because he could definitely do that with like the scorpion that they did at one point. You know, they cut it up, and I forget what they made with the scorpion. He definitely could do it with the mollusks.
Yeah, the mimics, they turned into like shellfish. Yeah, that was like a good one. What did the whole roast they did with, like, what was it? The basilisk, where it was like half chicken, half snake, and they turned Yeah, and they turned it into like a roast chicken, and then they used the eggs. I was like, damn, this is fucking nuts. And I guess that's the best part, is it all looks so fucking good.
It looks so good. Again, like, Trigger, the quality of the food looking animation-wise looks great. It makes me hungry every time I watch it. So, and like you said, they do go in on the action as well, because usually when they have to, these monsters, they don't just like find them, they have to kill them. So sometimes there are some good action scenes where, you know, they'll have to like cross blades or they'll have to use magic. And you know, there are some comedy bits too, where they can kind of get away with a few things here and there. But I have thoroughly enjoyed this one. This is definitely one that if you're into like casual, cute stuff, and kind of like weird, funky approach, again, because of the whole food aspect, I would definitely recommend this.
I mean, it's got that Frieren but not Frieren aspect. It's very D&D, slice of life, and they have a goal. Granted, the action's not as amazing as Frieren's, and it's not that kind of build, but it's like the way they interact with each other, the day-to-day aspects, and then the fact that they are fighting monsters and they are getting like stuff out of it. Yeah, there's a lot to like about it. So
yeah,
Man, this show's good.
Definitely, I think a good recommendation. It's silly and fun. It's nice, like I said, casual one.
All right, and that's gonna wrap it up for the anime we're discussing right now. I guess for next time, we haven't had a manga in a while. A part of that was because we were doing the year end and season recaps, but I guess we're gonna get back into it. Next time, we've got Iris Zero, which is a old one. The writer just finally came off a hiatus after, I think, like a 8 or 9 year bout with depression.
Ouch.
Yeah, which I guess was just...
It's a long season.
Yeah, I guess they just were like, you know, I hope they were doing something else to make income, because I don't know how you survive...
That's true, yeah.
...on hiatus for 8 or 9 years. But the concept is basically, at some point in the future, all kids start being born with these special set of eyes
Naruto.
That give them different powers.
Sharingans.
Well, no, it doesn't have an impact on the outside world, but it's like, you can see if somebody is lying to you. Or you could see, like, if you're looking for somebody who is good at something, you can find the best person for that job, you know, stuff like that. You can't actually affect anything in the real world, but it helps you see stuff that wouldn't normally be accessible.
Interesting.
And this story is basically about a kid who is born without an iris, dealing with bullying and difficulties
in the real world. So he doesn't have a power.
He does not have a power.
Oh, so it's My Hero.
Sort of, yeah, I guess. He doesn't get a power, though, so I guess that's a little
That you know of.
No, he does not. He just straight up does not. So anyway, yeah.
Whatever. Maybe it's the power of friendship.
Actually, it could be the power of friendship. We'll let you find out as you read. But yeah, it's an interesting sort of slice of life, sort of mystery story. I'm not really sure how to describe this one, but
interesting.
It'll be a fun one to check out.
Nice.
All right. Anything else to add, Ozzy?
No. Yeah, thanks for checking in on this episode. Again, the review for the winter season. We'll be back. I think our next topic actually is something that just happened recently, and we're going to try to review the overall general like anime of the years kind of as a whole. I know the Crunchyroll had one, which is the biggest one that we wanted to talk about. They just dropped like 2 days ago, but the anime subreddit for Reddit actually had theirs as well, which is something that we might have to look into, because I personally think theirs is better.
Yeah, well, I think we'll talk about that more as we get into it.
So. And we'll have a special guest next time, hopefully, if he's available.
Well, we'll find out. Yeah. Anyway, but as always, thank you again to our listeners for tuning in. If you got any questions or comments, shoot us an email at RaleighAnime@gmail.com. Until next time, again, thanks for listening, and y'all have a good rest of your week.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. All right.